Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Yak Gadget, made in America, based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the153anglers.com to place your order today.
Based in Santa Ana, California, BioAno Power provides the highest performance lithium-ion phosphate batteries for the marine market. These batteries are one quarter the weight of sealed lead-acid batteries, provide over 2,000 to 3,000 charge cycles, and a 10-plus year service life. These batteries can be used for any deep cycle application, including running fish finders, trolling motors, live wells, and LED lights. For more information, visit BioAnoPower.com. That's BioAnoPower.com or contact dealers nationwide.
Welcome to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. This is the final cast segment with your hosts Brad Hicks and Josh Eldridge, where we cast our final opinions on all products good and bad. Welcome to the final cast.
You're listening to the final cast. Laryngitis Brad back in the house.
What's up, coffee?
I'm a little better last week. Last week was rough, man.
What's wrong with you? Did you start smoking all of a sudden?
Kind of sounds like it, don't it?
Yeah, dude. It's kind of gross. I mean, me and Josh are trying to have a conversation and you hack a lung right in our ears.
Yeah, I'm going to try to mute the mic when that happens.
Well, dude, I hope you get better, man. I don't know. Those summertime colds suck. So,
yep. It's not Corona. So, if anybody messages me after hearing this, shut up. Oh, man. We got a cool guest in the house, return guest, Josh Shrinko, Smalley Talk Podcast. What's going on?
What's up, boys? How you doing?
Good. Man.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Still a little, I'm a little strung out from my family RV vacation just got back from. So two weeks with, four kids and four adults in an RV. So it, wasn't exactly the recharge and relaxation type of vacation. But,
where'd you go?
So we started out flying into Salt Lake. And then we rented an RV and drove up to Glacier National Park and then went over to Yellowstone and then down to Grand Tetons and then back down to Salt Lake. So, it was it was nice to be off work for 2 weeks, but it wasn't exactly like carefree. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So, but
I hear you. I don't like vacations where I'm just going and going like that, man.
Yeah. But it was definitely for the kids. A lot of it was, but yeah, it was cool. If you guys have never been out west, like it's God's country out there. That's like unbelievable landscape. So it's some moments and some really like cool stuff out there. So didn't catch any smallmouth though. Caught some trout, but
really,
yep.
Huh.
Yeah. I took a fly rod with me and yeah, caught some rainbows on a dry fly. It was pretty fun. So
I didn't even know you fly fished.
I keep that on the down low. I can fly fish. I actually do enjoy it. I just, you know, the Smalley Talk thing, we kind of have a thing going back and forth because Chris is the fly guy and I'm the conventional guy. And I make fun of fly fishermen, but I actually do partake. We call it bi fly. So I'm a little bi fly. Just a tiny bit. So.
That's awesome.
Now, where were you fishing at?
I did most of my fishing in Yellowstone. So, yeah, we did a couple of rivers out there, the Yellowstone River, Slough Creek, and then actually had the best fishing in Grand Tetons. There's a, I think it was the Gross Venture River, ran behind one of our campsites and went back there for a few hours. And we had a couple of trout dinners, so it was nice.
Heck yeah, man.
No smallmouth, though, out there.
I think there are smallmouth. Believe it or not, ran into a Smalley Talk listener out there.
Really? And
yeah. That's awesome. He was from Montana, lived in North Carolina or South Carolina, and he was like, "Oh yeah, there's smallmouth out here." But I mean, I was with kids in an RV. I didn't have an opportunity to go explore out there much. It was more just like if I had the opportunity to go run over to a creek or a river while we were sightseeing, like I'd go do it. But it definitely was not a fishing trip. So. Right.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, and I mean, when you get up in the mountains and stuff like that, it's mainly trout. Like it's, you know, right. the smallmouth are kind of few far between, and usually they're going to be concentrated up. Like, you know, Brad, like, you know how Jay goes, and they go up fishing up in Idaho for sturgeon and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they caught some really good smallmouth, like in this one section and stuff like that. But it's just, it's not as crazy as it would be like, you know, in Ohio and Indiana and Michigan and, you know, in the northern states like that. But I mean, obviously they could probably be introduced, but, you know, and make their numbers bigger, you know, especially in those colder water streams like that up in the mountains, you know.
Yeah, I think from what I heard from a couple guys up there that smallmouth are actually in the Yellowstone River, and they're like the fly guys are freaking out up there because they're like kind of taking over parts of the river, but they're all like 10-inch fish.
Yeah.
So they're not even fun to catch.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a, there were some probably there. My goal at some point is to catch a smallmouth in every state that they actually exist in. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get the chance out there. So
I saw somebody post the in one of the groups that they were catching Hawaii smallmouth.
Yep.
I was like, I did not know they existed out there. That's cool.
They, I mean, it's not native by any means. Right. Like, okay. Like, yeah. So in like Hawaii and stuff like where I was at, Brad, in Kauai, they have like some rivers and stuff that run through, but it's real weird. Like we went peacock bass fishing, and peacock bass aren't native to there by any means. And it was like a reservoir, is like their drinking water reservoir, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like how we have them here in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Just they're not raised up like ours are, you know, like above ground. And they had largemouth bass. I don't know if they had smallmouth bass there, but I'm sure that at some point that's probably been introduced somewhere. And, you know, like, you know, it could probably, they'd probably survive, you know. I mean, it's kind of crazy. You think about what smallmouth, kind of what they, how they flourish in like certain types of water, but, you know, they'll survive though in kind of subpar conditions, you know, not mm-hmm. kind of what they fit. So,
the GMR is a testament of that.
Yeah. Well, GMR is also a testament in a little Miami River is like how much you can make your fisheries bounce back by simply cleaning up the water systems and keep them from dumping chemicals in them. You know, why all of our rivers were so bad around here was because of all the industrial stuff that was going on. And, you know, like the GMR bounced back and a little Miami was probably better for a while, you know, when you think about it, but the GMR is making this huge comeback because the bait fish are starting to survive there. And so the smallmouth are getting big.
Josh over in Indiana, they've had something similar, like a fish kill, right? White River, like 20 years ago.
Yeah, there was an industrial spill in Anderson, Indiana, which was basically like the start of the really good part of the river, and they some company up there dumped a bunch of chemicals knowingly in the river. Huh. And I wasn't around fishing at that time, not in the White River anyways when it happened. I think it was about 27 years ago, so I was 9. But they killed a bunch of fish, and it decimated that fishery. And kind of what Josh was saying is, like, it's crazy how resilient those rivers are. If you just stop mm-hmm. polluting, they really clean themselves up. Mm-hmm. The one thing that really can't be cleaned up, and it's unfortunate in the White River and a lot of Midwestern stream, is the agriculture, the silting in of the rivers. And that's something that I really, it bugs the crap out of me, because, the agriculture has been allowed to farm all the way up to the banks, and there's none of that root system to hold the bank in. And it turns a rocky, nice smallmouth habitat type river into just a mud pit. Mm-hmm. And there's sections, if you river fish, you go through sections of river where the farmland is, and it's just like, you might as well just paddle through there, because there's no smallmouth, there's just no habitat. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is. Human intervention,
That's how the Little Miami River is over here. It goes through a lot of farmland.
Yeah, it's like it does real great, Josh, like you mentioned, like where it's not being farmed right up to the banks. And, we have a conservancy district group that there's one for it's kind of the Miami watershed. And then you've got one that's actually separate for the Little Miami River, I think. Right, Brad? Isn't there one that's separate for Little Miami?
Yeah.
And they're doing a really good job of trying to clean that up, because they're buying a ton of land, like, from people too. Mm-hmm. And then trying to create that buffer zone, especially with like trees and that sort of thing. You'll see them planting stuff, like, once they bought the land, if it was kind of bare, they're starting to put trees and wildflowers and stuff up there. But it still struggles though, because it's unfortunate, but you've got so many, like, the thing that Little Miami River is starting to struggle with is you do have, like, like Caesars Creek and stuff that still dumps into there through their tailwater section, and that place gets like E. coli warning
every year
because of farm runoff, because there's a lot of cows and pig farms and stuff like that, I think, around that one. And then on top of that, we've got so many wastewater management, like, the city wastewater management systems around, like, in this area. It's just like, you can't go like 4 miles down a seams of river without running across another one. Like, it's insane. Mm-hmm. And those cause a little bit of issues too. Especially with the Little Miami, it tends to kind of struggle. Like, Brad, like down there by Loveland, everybody talks about like how bad the water quality is. And it doesn't look bad. It doesn't look bad. It looks great, but it is what it is, man. It's just, I really hope to see like the farming. I kind of understand, like, it's a pain because it's something that was, put together like a long, long time ago, how their fields drain off and all that sort of thing. And, the farming practices have gotten crazier and crazier with bigger equipment, and it just makes everything more loose, and it doesn't bounce back as quick. Like, and then on top of that, you get what Josh is saying, where they're right up on the bank. There's some sections of Little Miami River and Beaver Creek that are completely different in 3 years, like, because of the farmland there, where it just literally, like, the whole bank side just falls in, in huge chunks. Like, it's amazing to see how much of it happens like that, mm-hmm. And then you see it with even the trees, like, you get all the trees that start falling in the water.
Yep. It almost becomes impossible to even paddle at that point. You get enough trees in there, just a bunch of strainers basically. I will say the White River, which, White River runs through the city of Indianapolis. It's kind of one of those, a lot of people know what it is. People in Indiana, a lot of them are like, you know, if I say something like, oh yeah, I fished the White River, they're like, oh, you fished the White River? Like, it's kind of, you know, it's a, yeah, you know, it's an definitely an urban river. But the city is, we had a guy on our podcast a while back, and they're investing, I think it's $2 billion in an underground rock tunnel. They're basically diverting all the city's runoff into this rock tunnel. And right now, it's like, it's something crazy. It's like, I don't know how many billion gallons a day that goes into that river right now is diverting all of that into the tunnel. And supposedly, like 10 years from now, it's going to be like, we can swim in it. You know, they're going to build a lot of commercialized stuff along the bank and make it like kind of like a recreational place. So, you know, there are things we can do to clean it up. I don't have $2 billion, but
yeah.
but luckily someone cared enough to, you know, put that, that project in place. And they're actually, I think they're a pretty good chunk of it's done right now. So
that's cool.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Yeah. Hey, you guys got a unique river out there. I like it. I've fished Broad Ripple area, and I've been there. You know, around downtown Indianapolis. It's a nice river, man. You guys got bigger fish too.
I think it's kind of in its heyday right now from a size standpoint. And rivers fluctuate like that, you know, like the, you know, Susquehanna is a good example. Like it's down right now for whatever reason. The, you know, fishing is just not as good as it was. Even when I was out there 3 years ago, it was really good. You know, that it's kind of at its peak. We've had some good recruitments, you know, the last several years, really not a ton of flooding in the spring. So those spawning classes have thrived and, you know, it's fishing well right now. That's for sure. And I don't think there's a pretty strong outlook because this year we didn't have a ton of rain this spring either. So, you know, we probably had a really good spawning class this year. So it'll probably continue to be pretty good. Indiana's fishing pretty like, there's a couple rivers like Sugar Creek that is I would say down now. I don't really know why, but it is. But White River is definitely fishing really well right now. So
that's cool, man. Good to hear. Yeah. Well, let's get into the clothing line, man. Let's talk about that. How you started it? What it's about? Whatever.
Yeah. Sure. Well, you know, as you said, I am a repeat guest, so you guys had me on and, it was a while back. It was more to talk about Wilderness System stuff, I think at the time. But anybody that knows me knows that I'm kind of a smallmouth nut. So everything from just my Instagram account to, you know, we host a smallmouth podcast. Just, it's kind of something I fell in love with. About 15 years ago, after being a kind of a bass boat guy, I was fishing tournaments out of a bass boat and, yeah, long story short, I got into kayak fishing and smallmouth is, for a lot of people, I think it's their first love when they get into that because kayaks are really river friendly. You can kind of get out in places that boats can't get. And I was like shocked at how much cool fishing there was that I couldn't get to in my boat. Which ironically I used to fish tournaments on White River in my boat in Broad Ripple. And you would catch a smallmouth every once in a while, but it was that section above the dam is really good largemouth territory. Cause it's a lot slower. It's dammed up. And I started fishing other places where, you know, really you couldn't get a boat and kind of fell in love with the whole kayak and smallmouth thing. And really, I guess the clothing brand is somewhat of a product of just my love for smallmouth and the fact I'm an entrepreneur. Like I own a small business, what I do for a living. And, I kind of one of those guys that like, you know, if I see something that like, I want like that's like cool or whatever. Like, oh man, like the podcast is a good example. I love podcasts. I binge watch podcast or listen to podcasts, listen to your guys' podcasts all the time. And I was like starving for smallmouth content. You know, I was like, man, there's just not a lot of smallmouth content out there. And then I'm the type of guy who's like, well, if it's not there, I'm going to make it. So we started the Smalley Talk podcast. Well, this is kind of a, like I said, product of that same mindset. I like showing my love for smallmouth, you know, my clothes. I think a lot of guys like, you know, fishermen, you know, you guys are both wearing fishing hats and sure you have plenty of fishing shirts and that sort of thing. And there is definitely some cool smallmouth apparel out there. Like, you know, Nate Carnes comes to mind, if you guys know him. He has some cool artwork out there for smallmouth. Matt Stockton has some cool stuff, but nobody really had a brand like dedicated to smallmouth. So I kind of came up with this idea a few years ago and sat on it, wasn't sure exactly how I was going to execute it. And then as I've gotten older, I really just wanted to do it right. So instead of just like throwing a shirt out there or throwing a hat out there and selling it on, you know, Printful or Teespring or something like that, I wanted to actually start a brand and a company and build it around my love for smallmouth. The thing is, I can't draw worth crap. So I was like, well, I need to figure out how to do some design work. And I have used like contracting design in the past for like logos and stuff. But long story short, my neighbor approached me about some stuff and we became friends, and he really likes to draw. My brother-in-law is like an artist. He does tattoos and stuff, and they both love to fish. And I kind of was like, man, maybe I should just ask them if they wanted to go into business with me. So last year I pulled them into my basement and was like, hey, I got a proposition for you guys. Like, I want to start this company, but I want some partners in it. And yeah, in my basement, we kind of brainstormed the idea. And after hours and hours of meetings, you know, every week or so, and kind of hashing out different ideas, we kind of settled on doing apparel for right now. And yeah, so right now we're basically in an apparel company based off of, inspired by smallmouth. It's about as simple as I can put it, with plans to do other things besides apparel in the future. So,
interesting. How'd you get the name?
So the naming process was a collaborative thing between me and my two business partners. And really, we just kind of threw a bunch of names on the table and we're like, hey, you know, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And my neighbor, his name's Andrew Reuter. He's actually an ecologist for the state of Indiana. So he's like a really big outdoors guy. But he's super kind of, I would say, maybe a little like weird creative, like in a good way. Like he has an appreciation for really original things, and he threw that name out there and I'm like, I have no idea what that means. So he explained, and basically it's what the Algonquin Indians used to call smallmouth, and in their native like language, it meant the one that fights, or one which fights. And that's kind of, you know, the smallmouth community, the whole free the fighter thing, like that's kind of what they're known for. You know, they're known for their color, they're known for, you know, their stripes, and they're known for how they fight. And I thought it's really original. Nobody else had that name. Nobody else really like used it before. So intellectual property wasn't going to be an issue. A copyright infringement wasn't going to be an issue. So yeah, we decided to roll with that as like, you know, a little bit of a kind of a less straightforward name, but in the branding world, I think that usually ends up working out. So, that's where it came from. So
share with the pronunciation of what you guys have it as, and then what the other one is that we discussed before.
Yeah, so the Algonquin Native American tribe are like, you know, they're like up in the northern like Canadian region is like where they subsisted, and that's a huge like French, you know, French Canadian influence up there. And that word is French, and actually, if you look it up, it's It means black bass in French. So it's a little kind of a little weird in the French, but we went for a long time trying to figure out the exact way to pronounce it. And I actually asked, I work with actually one of my business partners that in my day job, they're a French based company. And I was at a sales conference and I was like, hey, I was like, I'm starting this company. I was like, well, how would you pronounce that? And the guy was like, Oshigan. And I was like, oh, wow. I was like, we totally got that wrong. We decided for the sake of, you know, just being a red-blooded American, you know, we Americanized the name. So we just called it Oshigan. So Oshigan.
I like it. Either way, it sounds good either way to me.
Yeah. I mean, we're not like, you know, we're not trying to like beat people down.
I mean,
if they pronounce
it wrong. Get real, like, American, but it'd be like, it's Oshigan.
Hey, that's fine with me. If you want to call it that, you can call it that.
Because I've been laughing at Brad. He's avoiding saying it. Like, he's like, what? You know, you want to talk about, you know, like your clothing brand?
Yeah.
He's not even saying it. Any anybody else we've ever had, he'll say the actual name of the company. He's trying to avoid it.
Yeah.
We get some weird stuff on here, though. It's just like, when I have to pronounce something, I'm like, I don't want to screw it up. Especially with we had your buddy Chris LeMessurier on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was sweating bullets. Yeah. I was like, dude, please don't screw this up.
Oh yeah, his last name took me a while before I like got it, you know, 100% right. But it's a lot. His name's a lot easier to say than it reads. So, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, like I just found out the other day that so you guys, I wear these sandals, but the, you know, I call them Tevas, right? Well, I just found out the other day that's not even the right way to pronounce it. It's Tevas. So so I'm sure that's a pretty common thing. Like, who cares what the, you know, people call it? So.
Yeah, I've done that before.
You're like, yeah. I don't care what you call it, just buy some shirts, man.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, that was one of the biggest things I didn't like about the reel down, and I know Dan Perry can relate to this, is when he did the top five of like local tournaments around the nation, he'd come up to somebody's random name and like, I'm sorry if I butcher this. I hated that part, man, because I always messed it up. And then I get like if somebody from Indiana, they messaged me, that's not how you pronounce my last name. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude.
Well, I mean, my last name is a good example. So it's pronounced Shrinko. So yeah. You with a CH. So I've been used to my whole life. Like, I don't even say my last name anymore. I just spell it. Like, that's the only way to do it. So yeah.
if it wasn't for your podcast, I wouldn't know.
yeah, for sure. We're excited about it, man. We're launching on August 1st. We really wanted to launch it before then. It just, you know, you don't realize how much work something like this is until you actually start doing it. It ends up being way more money and way more time than you think. But we're doing it the right way. So in my, you know, with my business acumen, at least from what I think is the right way, we're doing it, you know, in a way where we're actually have like a marketing concept and a brand concept where, you know, everything plays into each other. And it's not just some like cheap thing. Like, all of our stuff is very, very high quality. So mm-hmm. We're not screen printers. We're not, you know, embroiderers. We don't manufacture that stuff. So we partnered with a guy who I actually hired at a job like 10 years ago, who ended up starting his own business. And he's got a really cool shop here in town. And we met with several people and, basically he pitched us his like process. As I've gotten into this, I've started to learn how clothes are made, how stuff's printed, and it's not all equal. Like, a lot of the stuff you buy is super cheap and it doesn't last long, or it fades really easily. Everything we're going to be doing is like top of the line stuff. It's all going to be like, really high quality prints. So, you know, it took us a while to do that the right way and not just like go do some print on demand company and upload an image and let it, you know, print. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if that's what you want to do. Like, I think that's okay for like merchandise on a podcast or a YouTube channel or something like that. Right. Yeah. But if you're wanting to build a company and eventually it's something that I would like to do full time, like it's something that I think you need to do right and build the foundation for it. So
yeah,
that's kind of the mindset we have with it. So,
well, I mean, and you kind of look at, for example, like, you know, you'll buy some of these high performance shirts, you know, through a company or whatever. And mm-hmm. you're like, oh, you know, I'm going to support that tackle company or this or that. And you get the shirt and you're like, man, I thought this is like a good high performance shirt. I can see through it. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, mm-hmm. but then you got like Columbia or AFTCO or something like that. And their stuff is solid. Like I can't
yep.
see through my Columbia PFG shirt. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it lasts long. Yep. You know, it's, I mean, I have the same shirts that I've had for years. I haven't bought new ones in like 3 years, man. And they're all going strong. They might stink a little bit, but I just need to, you know, but I mean, yeah. that's how those shirts are. You guys know how they are. They just absorb sweat and they just yeah. don't want to let it go. But, yeah. it's cool, man, to hear that you guys took that aspect of it. 'Cause it is real easy for a lot of people to get into mm-hmm. the clothing printing game and be like, oh, we're just going to, you know, submit these designs over here. It's going to be the same shirts just with a different logo or, you know, design on each one. And, mm-hmm. and from, you know, when I checked out, Brad sent me some stuff to look at and I'm like, man, this is cool. This is unique. It's different. And I have an appreciation for stuff that's on the higher quality thing, even though like, you know, I don't even really have like the money for that kind of stuff. Like even like all my fishing stuff, but like, I've always been like, I'd like to buy it once, you know,
yep.
like, or, you know, once every couple of years or whatever, not where I have to buy something like every season comes around. It's the same thing. Like I remember buying waders and wading boots from, you know, Field and yeah. Stream, and it didn't even last 3 months, man. And I was like, never again. And the next yeah. year it was Sims G3s, you know, mm-hmm. like, and I've had them for 5 years now and no holes, nothing, you know?
Yeah. Those, the G3s, which is what I have, dude, those are freaking awesome waders. Yeah. They're like super thick. You can walk through thorns and briars yeah. and stuff. They won't get all ripped up for sure. Yeah, it's interesting because I have the same appreciation for that stuff. And I mm-hmm. knew from the get go that I was like, I'm not going to put my name on anything that's not something that I would wear, mm-hmm. something that I would buy or spend my hard earned money, you know, and people that at the end of the day, like whether you want to support anybody or not, like, you know, people work hard for their money. Like people, mm-hmm. you know, they bust their butt every day. And especially fishermen, you know, fishermen by and larger, it's a blue collar community. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys, they work hard so they can go out and fish on the weekends, and the clothes that they buy, a lot of times they spend money on them because they want, you know, you're hard on stuff for one, you know, you're like constantly beating stuff up, throwing it in the corner, getting it dirty, getting it wet. And, yeah, the sunshirt thing was interesting. You guys should really like I feel like we got the nicest material. Actually, do you guys want to see it real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see it.
Yeah. Hang on one second. Don't be freaked out. I got a mannequin here.
What's the mannequin's name?
We haven't named him yet, but I was going to draw a mustache on him.
You should get like a printout, like a printout, like photo, and tape it to its face.
Hey, switch it out. I've heard some of your guys' shows. I know that mannequin is not just for the shirt.
Yeah, exactly. You know us all too well. So that's like, this is like, whoa, his arm came off. So hang on there. I put him down. But yeah, so the sun shirt we have is, we like got a ton of samples and like tried out a bunch of different of those shirts. 'Cause I am really particular about like how they feel on your skin. You know, you're wearing them all day. They're technical shirts. So and I, you know, the hooded ones in particular, I have a ton of those because, you know, it protects your ears and neck from the sun, so you don't mm-hmm. put sunscreen on. And we'll have two different, we'll have a non-hooded and a hooded one at launch. And then we'll probably expand those pretty quick into some other designs. But that was interesting seeing exactly what you were saying, Josh. It's like you get some of them, you're like, oh, they're like, oh, well, these are this price. You're like, oh, the price point's good. Man, these are crap. Yeah. And then we kept having to look and look, and we finally found a manufacturer out of South Carolina that makes these particular shirts. And they're like double stitched. And this one, so this one isn't recycled, but the next version we're going to get is going to be made of all recycled materials. So it's going to be made of recycled plastic bottles. And it's neat learning about that stuff. But yeah, I'll make sure to get you guys a couple shirts and let you try them and make sure, you know, they live up to what I'm saying about them. So,
I don't know if you've ever heard of 47 brand or not. They make the baseball hats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They also use plastic bottles. I thought that was cool.
It's probably Reprieve, which is the same. So that's like, so the company that makes Reprieve is out of, I think, Guatemala, and they kind of are the ones that do the actual like recycling process. And then these cut and sew companies, they buy that material from them and make, you know, garments or hats or whatever you make from it. But yeah, this company that makes these sun shirts, they're pretty sick. So they're really nice. They're all sublimated, so it's not screen printed. So they're, if you're not familiar with that, it basically like burn the ink into the fabric. So it's like a part of the fabric. It'll never fade. It'll never flake, nothing. It's like very, very nice design work on them. So it's, they're going to be cool. So
I like that because, like you said, the stuff that flakes off or, you know, fades, it drives me nuts. I got a lot of shirts like that.
Yeah. Same with me. I mean, I think your average screen printed Plastisol shirt, you know, lasts, I think, you know, like 40 washes or something like that, which is, that's a lot, but you know, that's for me, that could be a couple years worth if I'm wearing it a lot. So it's like, you know, if it only lasts a couple of years, it's kind of disappointing. But yeah, all of our t-shirts are water-based ink. So they're like, if you feel the design, like on the shirt, it's not rough feeling. It feels like it's part of the shirt.
Nice.
So they're all going to be good stuff, man. Hopefully people will like them, and the designs, we've spent a lot of time like going through versions and versions and versions and versions of designs. And, I actually have one on right now. I mentioned this in our video. So this is an exclusive peek right here because nobody's seen this. Yeah, nobody's seen this.
Hey, hold on. It, this will be on YouTube. So I don't
okay.
know. You good with that?
Yeah. It's all good. So speaking of YouTube, you guys are familiar with Matt Nelson, Indie Yak Angler. So we're going to be doing a collection of his like themed stuff. Yeah, so we got to fish with Matt in Minnesota when we went up there this spring. Awesome. Got to meet him, and he was on our podcast a while back, so I got to know him through that. But anyways, if you guys are familiar with this Chewbacca video.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, so if you look really close on this, you can see there's a Chewbacca.
That is awesome.
Yeah, so it has his kind of name and then, you know, that's a Chicken awesome. At the bottom. So that's going to be the first like shirt, and then we're going to have some stickers, and then over we have some other designs for him in the pipeline for his stuff. So trying to get creative from a business standpoint and partner with people that, you know, have a different following, and I think that'll be a good partnership for us. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I've been watching his videos for years, man, and when he did that Chewbacca one, it was hilarious. Like I was like,
I know.
But it was like when he's zoomed in on it and it's just sitting there with the hook.
I know. It's hilarious.
Like, I knew the moment when I saw it, I was like, it's going to work. I know it's going to work.
That would not work.
It's so goofy and crazy that it has to work. Like, I mean, have you guys seen like where, you know, John B from the Guggen Squad?
He
hooked up with somebody who makes oars, and he had like this giant Pokemon thing. I mean, it's like, it's huge, dude. Like, and now somebody else has a Pikachu one, and I'm cracking up at this stuff. Like, I mean, it's kind of obnoxious a little bit when you think about it, but
like at the same time, I'm like, I love seeing that stuff. Like I love seeing people catch fish on just things you would not think that's going to do anything, you know? And it just kind of goes to show you, like, it's not about the baits. Like you could take a Lego Chewbacca, throw a hook in it, and catch smallmouth with it. It's all about the presentation.
Yeah, you definitely can. I will say this about the where he lives up there.
Oh yeah.
Dude, it's ridiculous smallmouth fishing. I mean, you guys have seen the pictures from the like our upper Mississippi excursions. I mean, we were catching 6-pound river smallmouth. So like it was just absolutely insane. And he does not live he lives about 2.5-3 hours from the upper Mississippi. But he's got some pretty killer rivers over where he lives too.
I mean,
nobody fishes them either, right?
Not very often, or at least
like we do.
Everybody up there, man, they're walleye guys. They're meat eaters, you know. And you gotta think, you know, Minnesota has how many, it's the land of 10,000 lakes. Like there's water. You can throw a rock in any direction and you'll hit a body of water. Like Ohio and Indiana, it's like, dude, you got to drive 1-2 hours to get to anything decent. So I think a lot of times those rivers up there get neglected. They're not pressured as much because there's just so many other options. You know, that's why I would love to live up there, because at least in the summertime, it's like smallmouth paradise up there for sure.
Yeah, so. I believe it. I mean, you watch his videos, you just die laughing because you're like, dude, did he just pull 520s out of the same hole? Like,
I know.
Like, if you have a 20-inch fish around here, that thing is like king for like 1.5 miles in each direction.
Yep.
You know, there's.
I know.
He's like, oh, I just throwing my grub over here, like just one after another, or my little itsy bug jig, and I'm cracking up like, oh, man. Like, I just. It's a dream of mine to go up there, up in Minnesota and, you know, like northern Wisconsin and stuff like that, smallmouth fish.
Dude, so I was actually on the border. I think I was fishing where he's from. I was on the border of North Dakota and Minnesota back in 2017. And I may have crossed over a river that he fishes. I'm not sure, though. But I had the chance to fish it, and I didn't, and I regret that.
That's gonna haunt you your whole life, dude.
I had my kayak out there and everything.
Where were you headed?
I was just staying at my friend's lake house. Where was that? It's like 1 hour east of Fargo.
Okay, I think he lives in Fargo or somewhere close to there. So you're probably right on his territory, bud.
And it drives me nuts every time I see his video because I'm like,
I mean, I haven't been to any of those rivers. I know which ones they are. I'm not going to say on here, but because he's kind of shared that stuff with us over the years. But I mean, I haven't even. It's just so it takes so long to get up there. I mean, the upper Mississippi is a 12-hour drive for us, so even longer for you guys probably. So but it's worth it. We go up there. We try to go up north somewhere every spring, and it kind of ruins the rest of your fishing season because it's like, it's so good. You're just like, man, this sucks here.
It's kind of how St. Clair was last year. Like after going to St. Clair, I'm like, this isn't fun.
Yeah.
Like, where's all the giant Nerf size, you know, Nerf shaped smallmouth at, you know?
But. I know. Yeah. It's a blessing and a curse to go do those trips, but I'll take the blessing. I don't care. I'll go up there every year, every chance I get. So
it's a bucket list trip for me.
So with the clothing line, what kind of garments are you guys going to be producing? We mentioned a sun shirt and t-shirts. What else are you guys doing?
Yeah. So, starting out, we're keeping it pretty simple, mainly just because of financial reasons. You know, I don't have $500,000 to dump in this thing. So that is, what Brad's posting up there. That's, we're going to have one hoodie to begin with, and then we'll have a t-shirt just like that with that same design. So that's like our base logo. We call it the OG logo. And then we'll have, I think, 6 other t-shirts, 2 sun shirts, and I believe 6 hats. So we'll have, that'll be kind of our lineup to begin with. And then the plan is really to add one new design a month. So we'll basically launch one new design a month and, you know, probably put that on multiple platforms. So like if it's a design that we feel will sell well or something that already selling well on a different platform, you know, maybe put it on a sunshirt and a t-shirt and a hat, that sort of thing. We have a decent amount in the pipeline already. I've got a couple that I really wanted to launch with, but we just had to pick and choose which ones we, you know, we just couldn't do all of them. So, but yeah, we'll have a decent selection up front. Nothing, you know, it's not like we're some brand like, you know, like Sims or Pelagic or anything like that, but we're going to be, you know, try to have some diversity so people can buy multiple things at first. And then, as kind of time goes on, we'll diversify, maybe get into some technical gear. You know, I have a plans to maybe do the ultimate wet wading pant. So, cause that's something that I feel is not really on the market right now. So getting to do some more technical stuff like that. But yeah, for right now it's, you know, kind of design centric, shirts and hats. So,
yeah, this hoodie is what caught my eye, man. Like every time I see this picture right here, I'm like, oh, that looks like an awesome, like late fall hoodie.
Oh yeah. So that's actually my brother-in-law, one of my business partners. We call him Dirty D. His name's Dustin. but he's, that was on our Minnesota trip. So I took that photo, literally just caught that fish. We were on our drift raft and, we were out wading around catching monster smallmouth like every other cast. So, the sweatshirts, I've wore that thing, I don't know, 50 times probably. I've worn it out already. So, it's a pretty nice sweatshirt. Not going to be a ton of color options step at first. Like I said, it's like keeping it simple, from an inventory standpoint, cause you got to figure you have to have, you know, all the sizes of all the, you know, if you release one thing, you got to have small through triple X, and that's, you know, a challenge for us. It's like, okay, well, you got to have all these different sizes, and that stuff adds up real fast, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. So,
and then what'll be good though is like, I mean, you got to start out like that. You don't want to get in over your head where you're like, oh my gosh, we have this giant surplus of stock, and come to find out nobody buys this in small, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you can kind of go from there and be like, all right, well, here's what we need to tune down. We only need to order 20 smalls, not, you know, 100 or whatever. And
yeah, and there's a little bit of science to that as far as like industry standards. Like, okay, you know, I actually did a poll on Smalley Talk and asked like what size people wear, and it gave us a good like ratio of like, okay, you know, we had 100 people respond to this. This many people were smalls. This many people were mediums. This many people were larges. And it kind of gave us a blueprint of like, okay, this is probably what our customer base is going to look like. This is probably how many we need to carry. And, you know, all that stuff, you have to meet minimums on it. Or at least, you know, the more you order, the cheaper the price gets. And you kind of have to go up to a certain quantity before it really becomes viable. The good thing is we're not trying to make a living off this right now. It's just, we all have day jobs. We're putting all the money back into the company besides what, you know, money that we loaned to the company from our own personal stuff. So, you know, it's the pricing and stuff isn't as big of a deal now as it will be later down the road when we actually try to like make this into a profitable business. But yeah, we got this is actually, a lot of people see me wear this hat over the years. So I started a blog that it's kind of where Smalley Talk came from. I started Quest for 23. It's like the blog I started about catching a river 23 inch smallmouth. And that design we put on a hat, or two hats, and then one of the shirts has it on there. So a lot of people have asked me for this over the years of, oh man, I want to get that hat. I want to get that hat. So we will have it. So if you want a Quest for 23 hat, Quest for 23 shirt, we're going to have those at launch. So
cool, man. How many designs do you have total? Do you know?
So I think based on every, like hats and everything, I think there's maybe 10, 10 different designs. And that, you know, like I said, some of them are on a hat and not a shirt. Some are on a shirt and not a hat. Like that bleed bronze one, that one is just on a shirt. But it's not on a hat. And we may, you know, cross over eventually once we start expanding our SKUs. But that shirt in particular, I've worn that a lot. So we did kind of a pre-production run for our trip. Gave all the guys that went on the trip, free stuff, and just like, hey, wear it, take some pictures of it. So we got a lot of good marketing content when we went on our Memorial Day trip. And that was one of them that we did as a shirt, and it's pretty comfy. So yeah. Sweet,
yeah, I like the design of it.
Yep. So Dustin, that's his artwork. So you can tell it's very tattoo-ish. So it's like a really detailed human heart. And that's kind of his style, I guess. It's funny working with artists. You know, a lot of the guys, like their personal artistic style, you know, kind of shows through on their designs. And it's nice to have a couple different guys that have different types of, you know, design. So everything isn't going to be so everything looks the same. And I feel like you get that with a lot of brands. Like everything's kind of like, oh, yeah, you can tell that's, it's just kind of boring. We'll have a lot of different type of stuff. A lot of, I would say, edgier stuff. So a lot of dark humor in our designs. It's just kind of how we roll, you know, we're like that. So we're going to have some funny kind of, darker type stuff like that. So yeah.
Wet boys t-shirt.
Oh yeah. Smalley talk stuff is coming, and we're definitely gonna do a wet boys t-shirt. For sure. Yeah.
That's funny. People are probably gonna hear this. They're like, what is he talking about? This is weird. If you don't know what we're talking about, just go back and listen to an episode.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the wet boys definitely need a shirt because they're clamoring for it. We'll do a Smalley Talk collection. I think I don't know if you guys are familiar with our buddy Derek. He's Hoosier State Fishing. We'll probably do a shirt for him. We're gonna do a lot of collaboration type stuff to keep things fresh, and I guess lend some credibility to our brand. People who are because we're outdoorsmen, we're fishermen. We're not some business guys trying to make this company out of take advantage of a market. Like we're doing it really because we like to do it. I'm sure it's similar to the way you guys do the podcast. It's like, we all know we're not like cutting big paychecks on these podcasts now.
You're not?
No, definitely not. It's funny people say that. I've had several people ask me so do you do that podcast for a living? And I just start laughing.
No. It pays for my coffee for the week.
Exactly.
If I'm lucky.
Heck, it doesn't even pay for that for us, man.
I know. Oh, I know.
We just do it for fun. I mean,
yep. Yeah. No other reason. That's the kind of, and here's the thing, I wouldn't call it a midlife crisis because I was still young, but I was working a corporate job, and I'd worked at it for about a decade, and I was making good money, and I just didn't like what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I went on the path to try to find an outdoor job. And I think back on it now, and I started finding out, one, outdoor jobs don't pay very well. That's one. So I'm like, I'm going to make half what I make now. It was hard. I was like, there's no way I'm going to, be able to do this. I even got to the point I had emailed Eric Jackson when he was over Jackson Kayaks, and the guy actually responded to me this huge long email, copied Drew Gregory on it. And those guys were explaining to me how the outdoor industry works and how it's it's, hard to make money. So I ended up quitting my job, starting my own company doing medical stuff. And I do enjoy that a lot. And it affords me the ability to fish and make my own schedule. And I have a couple employees. but I still have a longing to make a living in the outdoor industry. So like, for me, this is kind of my like, hey, I'm in my mid 30s. Like I need to like crap or get off the pot with this. And I'm like, but I want to do something that I really am passionate about. And I'm literally as passionate about smallmouth as anything in the world. And this is just, I'm hoping that my like love for this shines through and the people that also love smallmouth and also fish for smallmouth and appreciate it, you know, we'll see that through our products. And that's kind of where this company's coming from. So,
yeah. Oh dude, I see it completely. I mean, I see your passion there. I met you in person. I saw your passion there. So
yeah, dude, that was fun, man. We need to do that again for sure. So
I mean, you're mentioning something like, you know, it's something I struggle with because I work in like industrial setting and I've worked in the office setting too. And I've kind of screwed myself because I have jumped from job to job to job trying to find something that I'm not miserable doing.
Yeah.
And because of that, I've never built up any seniority where I've moved up anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, but it's, you know, I'm at this point though. I'm like, is it really important though for me to make a ton of money, or is it? What am I looking for? Like, I've heard the best thing to do, and it's not just, you know, find something that you like, but find something that you like, that you have a drive for, something that you're gonna like push for, and you're gonna put like a ton of passion and hard work into. Because, I mean, you look at, you know, so many people, especially in the United States, it's just you sit in a cubicle for 9 hours, you know, 8 or 9 hours a day, or you're sitting in a machine and you're just like, and you know that you don't want to be there, you know, and you're working your ass off for somebody else to bank on, you know? So if there is, if you have that opportunity, like you're taking, Josh, man, like, you know, run with it, man. You know, it's, you're going to have a lot of probably sleepless nights. Cause I mean, you're doing two jobs, you know? Yep. But that's kind of what you got to do, is you got to stick with, you know, what you, to keep the family going and, you know, keep your finances going, but, you know, push that passion with the clothing line, dude. Cause it is true. Cause I watched a thing, Joe Rogan was talking about it the other day. He's like, it's sad how many people are out there working. And it was a big, long kind of quote thing I saw. I think it was on TikTok or whatever. And they had broke it up into several pieces, and he was totally right. He was like, you know, it's just, you've got to find something that you have this like burning passion and desire to go after. Cause I mean, God knows me with my job now, I'm like, you know, like it's just how it is. But man, you know, I've never put myself like out there like Josh is doing, you know,
it's hard, man. I think it, you know, if I was single and I didn't have any kids, like, it'd be a lot easier to do that. The problem is when you're young, like, you don't realize that. You don't realize, like, you're setting yourself up for the rest of your life. Most people don't, you know. Some people do, fortunately. But, you know, when I was in my, you know, early 20s, like, I had, like, two things in my mind. And I think you guys probably know what those two things are. I mean, fishing and women. Yeah. And that was, like, you know, a job was just a way for me to go do both of those things, you know. And like, I didn't realize what, you know, it's like, okay, you're setting yourself down a path of like what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. And like, for me, it was like, well, I just need to make money. And, you know, you find out later in life as you get older and wiser that like, life's not all about money. Like, money is a means to live your life, right? Like, and sometimes if you have more of it, sometimes you afford you different things, but you know, for the most part, you don't need a lot of money. Like, I've had times in my life where I've made a lot of money. I've times in my life where I've struggled, and like, you know, I can't say that I was any happier when I made a ton of money than when I wasn't making money. So you might as well do something that you like doing, you know. And we live in America, and one of the really cool things about America is like, you know, we have the freedom to do whatever we want. Like, if we want to leave our jobs, we want to try something else, like, you can go do it. Like, there's nothing stopping you besides yourself. And you know, jumping out of your comfort zone and doing stuff is hard. Like, it really is hard. But you can do it. And, you know, I think mitigated risk is something that I've always been about. It's like, I can't risk my family's house and I can't mortgage. Mm-hmm. I'm not the guy that's going to go drop $100,000 out of my retirement to go start a business and like completely wipe myself out. Like I'm doing this like very like carefully, you know, and at worst case scenario, I waste time, you know, and that's at least that's what I have to burn. So,
but I mean, you look at it like how you're doing it is just to kind of protect yourself, but you still have a passion for it. You know what I mean? And that's the thing is if you sit back and you just kind of accept it and it drives you crazy, you know, it's like at what cost, you know, like your own sanity and your own happiness. And, you know, you treat the family like shit or whatever, you know, because you're completely miserable all the time with what you're doing with your life. And, you know, it's like, and the thing is, though, is when you do things, you guys tell me, when you've done something that you know is hard, how much more rewarding was it when you actually succeeded versus always taking the easy route, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I agree with that, man. Like, it's a lot more rewarding to go through trials and, you know, go through the fire and come out the other end knowing that you busted your ass for something that was worth it for sure. So,
and kind of for me to relate to that, like catching my first River 20 this year and then going to a reservoir and catching one like a couple weeks later. You know, that River one was so much more rewarding.
Yeah. Congrats on that though, bud.
Because you've put what, 7, 8, 9 years worth of river fishing and, you know, like hell, you've probably been like, dude, this guy who just started last year caught one.
Yeah, it's been like that.
You know how fishing is though. Like fishing is part skill, part luck, you know, part like, I mean, especially luck with the weather. Like you're like, you know, you're going to go fishing because you're like, hey, it's the weekend. I finally can fish. Oh, it's going to rain. Well, I can't, you know, it's the only day I got or whatever. So, but, yeah, man, it's you put in that hard work. That's what it's what's frustrating when everybody gets on like some of those fishing forums and they're like, hey, where do I catch this fish? Like, you know, where are you guys catching them? It's like, hey, man, you know, you're asking the wrong group of guys. You know, these guys that are holding up these big fish put in a lot of work, you know, to kind of get there. And it's, you know, they're not going to exactly tell you where to go. They're going to give you pointers, you know, or an idea where to start, but they're not giving you GPS coordinates, you know, but
yeah,
unless you're Brad. Brad will tell everybody where you're fish.
Brad's a spot burner.
Watch out, everybody. Don't tell Brad Hicks where you fish. Burn it up.
Yeah, it's the same thing in business, man. It's like you can look at somebody who's done really well and succeeded, but you don't see all the hours that they stayed up late. You don't see all the time they put in of, you know, like, you know, busting their ass without getting paid anything. Because, I mean, realistically, like we're not going to take a dime from this Achigan thing for probably at least 2 or 3 years. Yeah. And like that's 2 or 3 years worth of free work. Like you have to add that in the equation. When you see somebody succeed, like they usually got there through some sort of hard work. Sometimes people get lucky. Sometimes people do have a knack for things. I can tell you this, like, I feel like I'm a really savvy business person, but I'm no Bill Gates. I'm no Jeff Bezos. Like I'm not a guy that's like some visionary. I'm a guy who kind of like puts a plan in place and I do it and hopefully, you know, it works if I do it long enough. And you know, if this thing ends up being successful, it will just be because I basically ate shit for 3 years. So
So what are you guys going to be doing? How are you aiming your marketing, you know, like what's the goal with that?
So we're basically, I think our main conduit for marketing is going to be Instagram at first. So we're really going to try to grow our audience organically and try to get a following through Instagram. Probably we'll have an Instagram shop sooner than later where people can, you know, buy stuff straight off Instagram. And honestly, mainly that's because I'm familiar with Instagram and that's just kind of what I know. And I'm trying to get better at it, trying to figure out how to reach more audience. I know I should probably get TikTok, but I'm like fighting it with every fiber of my being to get TikTok. Cause I'm like, I don't know. Like I look at TikTok. I'm like, man, it's like a bunch of kids and I'm too old to do it.
There's adults, but it's weird though, man. It's like, I don't know. Like it's, I feel the same way. I'm like, I'll get on there and I'm like, what is this? Like, and I don't understand like the point of half of it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's like the 30-second video thing. But then I start realizing, like, is that how bad our attention,
you know? Oh, like, yeah, it is 100%.
Attention is getting as humans. Like, it's like, yeah. Oh, it's longer 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely, I mean, there's no hiding it. Like, from a business standpoint, it'd be stupid to not do that. I just don't want to get, my personality is like, I'm very like focused person. And if I get too many things to focus on, I end up doing them all very haphazardly and I don't do any of them high level. So I rather focus on doing something really well, figure it out. Then once I figure it out, put it on cruise control and go focus on the next thing. But yeah, Instagram, and then, you know, we're going to do some sponsorship type stuff. I'm hoping we do have a couple retail shops that are committing to carry our stuff. So we'll do some retail stuff, probably not going to be big retail guy just because the margins get diluted that way. I have some things kind of in my head that like acquisition sponsorship wise that we're looking at doing, investing a little bit of my other businesses money into this. So we'll see. There's some creative stuff on the horizon with it. We want to grow, but we don't grow too fast and we don't want to grow too expensive. Because the last thing I want is, you know, to get, not be able to provide a high level of customer service, which, you know, I know is a really important thing to our core customers. Like, we're going to be accessible. We're going to do stuff. We'll be transparent, try to get stuff, you know, high quality stuff on time, fast. And I think that's, you got to meet those expectations and you got to be able to meet them or you're going to lose your ass early on. So
cool, man. I guess we can wind this down, right? Since we're, unless you got anything else you want to add.
I definitely do not.
Okay, Josh.
Yeah, man. I mean, I do dig the idea of like kind of aiming for that smaller retail thing, like places like Rocktown. Like Rocktown, like sells kayak stuff, but they have a small like outdoor clothing section and stuff like that. So, you know, those kind of shops like that are the little small outfitter shops. Those are, it's a good place to start. And I mean, to be honest, I love those kind of stores like that. You know, it's they're my favorite places to go. Like when you hit, like you said, that big retail, it's like you kind of start, you're having to cut deals because they want to order like, you know, 200 shirts or whatever. And it's just like your profit margins aren't going to be where you would like them to be, especially with you guys starting out. Cause you guys are going to, if you want to keep expanding it, you know, in reinvesting back in the company, you're like, you know, how much is it going to really benefit you to do that, you know, through there? Because most of the time when you go to you watch this on Shark Tank, when they really want to push something, you guys notice 100 times it gets outsourced like instantaneously, you know, of the country. It's like, oh, well, you want to keep it made in America? Well, nah, that's not going to work. Like, you know? And so like, you know, like for people who, you know, we see it in the kayak industry, especially with the brands like Jackson or Native or whatever, like before they, some of them that have hit now, like the big box stores, it's like, they are expensive, but there's a reason why it's expensive. You know, it's not being made overseas, you know, and where their quality control is a little bit, you know, a little bit different. Now that's not to say none of these, you know, made in USA kayak companies don't have problems, because we all know about Jackson's, you know, pedal drive issues and the Hobie 360 issues and this and that. But, you know, it still is different. The material is different. That's the one thing I learned is, you know, Chinese steel and U.S. steel are very different. They, you know, visually and structurally and strength wise. So, but Josh,
plastic's the same way. So
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. But Josh, man, I wish you guys the best of luck with this, man. It's cool see you, you know, form the brand and you get the backstory on it. Cause I didn't really have the backstory of like what the name was meaning. And it was really cool to learn that, because I knew you were a huge smallmouth guy. Brad, Brad's bragged about you for like, you know, the past year. And he's like, Josh is cool, man. You got to meet
him. He's my idol, man.
He's like, I don't know like us. And, you know, and he wants to be your co-host. Like, he's like, really wants to be on Smalley Talk.
Fire. So. Hey, you can come on Small Talk anytime, brother. yeah, we haven't done, because my vacation and Chris is going on vacation. We've kind of slacked off. We had Travis, Von Neumann on. Did you guys have him on?
No. We didn't. Okay. Somebody else did.
I know, like, Dark Waters had him on. There's a couple other ones. But
I think Dan and them did for the real
Dan. Dan and Jimmy did.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, so he's we had him on for obvious reason. He caught a bunch of smallmouth and won that tournament. yeah, but yeah, we'll probably get back in the recording studio here in the next week or so when Chris gets back. But yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about the brand. And yeah, I'll definitely hook both of you guys up with some complimentary stuff. So I'll reach out to you and get your address and that sort of thing. We'll get you some stuff. And then, yeah, man, looking forward to it. And if anybody wants to reach me, I think we got a little scrolling thing on YouTube here, but you know, really, our Instagram is at Achigan Brand. That's Achigan Brand. So you can DM us. We'll 100% respond. I try to, like, Smalley Talk, we get a lot of messages. I try to respond. Chris and I try to respond to all of them. Same thing with the Achigan. You guys want to know something, you know, you want to give a suggestion on a design or shirt or hat or whatever, we're going to be eyes and ears open on that stuff, because we really want to put stuff out that the smallmouth community wants. But I think what you'll see, some of the stuff we have coming out initially is going to be super badass. So I think you guys will like it. So
you want to, before we go, you want to plug your launch, where people can find that and all that stuff?
Yeah, sure. So we're going to launch on August 1st. It's on a Sunday, probably in the evening. We'll do like a little live video on Instagram when it actually officially goes live. But our website's achiganbrand.com. It is not live yet. We haven't connected the domain yet, but it'll be a Shopify store. So we're working on building that out right now. It's a little bit of a sprint to the finish with everything. We're going to have inventory available immediately. So, you know, if you guys order stuff, you know, we should be able to ship it within a day or two. But achiganbrand.com, at achiganbrand on Instagram. And yeah, I think that's about it.
Sweet, man. Thanks for coming on the show. That was fun.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It was a pleasure.
Yep. Yeah, we'll end it here, man. Josh?
Yeah, we will. Nope. Everybody, thanks again for listening to the final cast on the Paddle and Fin podcast. And yeah, iCast will be over by the time this airs. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, kind of if we get hooked up with some good upcoming episodes. I told Brian to find me a sunglasses guy.
Yeah.
And then definitely. Whatever is weird and cool.
I know. I love the unique stuff, man.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, we can always talk about the same stuff every year, but you know, like the same baits or whatever. But I was like, I don't know, man. I was like, find some weird, cool stuff. I was like, I don't care if it's kayak related or not at this point.
Yeah, heck yeah. So. Why not? Sweet. We need a end of the show slogan like everybody else has.
No, we don't.
Alex, I never...
No, we don't. We don't need a slogan. No slogan.
Spend your money wisely.
Just say laryngitis Brad out. You know. All right. See you guys next week. Take care.
See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water.
and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.